Welcome to your five for the day. There are so many reasons to praise God. David, the most famous king of Israel, tells us in Psalm 65 that praise is due to God because he hears prayer. When iniquities prevail against him, God atones for our transgressions. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of his house because by awesome deeds he answers us with righteousness. He is the God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farther seas. He is the one who by his strength established the mountains and who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe of his signs. He makes the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. He visits the earth and waters it. He greatly enriches it. The river of God is full of water. He provides the earth with grain. He waters its furrows abundantly, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. He crowns the year with his bounty. As a result, the pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy, the meadows clothe themselves with flocks, the valleys deck themselves with grain, they shout and sing together for joy. How routine and repetitive is your experience of God? However modern and apparently relevant it may be, there's a real risk of simply doing the same things time after time and losing touch with the reality of life lived minute by minute before God. It's not just a matter of boredom and flatness. It's also that somehow we allow ourselves to lose touch with God's presence on a day-by-day basis. On such occasions, walking to work, dealing with daily chores, the everyday details of life, none of these things seem to speak to us of relationship with God. The psalmist is grateful for the way God provides for us with rain, harvests, and food. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray for their daily bread. Being aware of our minute-by-minute dependency and vulnerability helps us to thank God for his boundless generosity and care. We take so many things for granted, and it is good for us to pause and recognize how very good God is to us. Think about what you have to do this coming week. Ask God to show you how you can be aware of his goodness and his presence all of the time. In a sermon, the 39th Bishop of Chester, Michael Bowen, once said that too many people believe that Jesus is Saviour, but not that God is God. It seems that we limit our faith to our personal salvation, worship God on Sundays, and keep our heads down for the rest of the time, lacking any real belief in the presence of God in creation and in human history. As we have seen in this psalm, David delights in salvation, in gathering to worship, and in answered prayer. But the God he worships is the God of the whole world. This God is concerned with all human beings and is the hope of all the ends of the earth. This God is the awesome creator of the universe. This God is the Lord of the nations in all their political turmoil. This God is the source of the rhythm of day and night. He is the source of the stability and the joy of human life, even when he is not recognized. Then the psalm reminds us that God sends the rain, provides the growth, and brings the year to a climax with the harvest. He is so intimately involved with providing for us, his human creatures, it is as though the hills and valleys themselves come even more alive to sing his praise. Then the psalm stops. It does not have a conclusion to tie the argument together. It is more an instinctive cry of praise than a theological dissertation. It does not circle back to the beginning to re-emphasize the wonder of sins forgiven. It just takes for granted that forgiven sinners serve a big God, the God of the whole universe, and that nothing and no one is beyond his power, concern, or care. Big God, indeed. Thank you for listening.